I'm ready. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Today we're celebrating a great victory following the book of Esther, where the Jews were saved from destruction and the evil in Haman in his heart was reversed onto himself. That's right. Boo. Haman is the bad guy. It was reversed onto himself. What the devil meant for harm, God turned to good. Amen? Amen? Now, this is just one victory. But as you know, it's just one of innumerable ongoing victories that our God gives us. Not just that He's given us in the past, but that He's given us right now as I speak. And that He's going to give us in the future. And as we often have heard in this sanctuary, is that Jesus wins. Amen? We're on the winning team. All we have to do is stay suited up with His righteousness, and we'll get the reward that we deserve in Him. Not that we deserve it, but that He made it deservable for us. He's the one. Praise God. All right, there are three blessings that I've mentioned before that are read during the time of Purim. When I say the blessings, then you have to say amen after each one, if you would. So when I... Amen, of course, means so be it. So when you say amen, all you're saying is so be it, so be it. And I often will say that when someone's praying for me, Lord, so be it, or amen. Which just that's what it means. All right, the first blessing is, blessed are you, our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with His commandments and has commanded us regarding the reading of the Megillah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. The Megillah, now remember, Esther is one of the five books of the what they call the Megillah. Is that I'm pronouncing it correct?
Megillah.
Okay. The other books are Lamentations. Now you can hear me. They're Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, and Ruth. And there's five of those books. Here's a second blessing. Blessed are you, our Lord God, King of the universe, who has wrought miracles for our forefathers in these days and at this season.
Amen.
Amen. Blessed are you, this third one. Blessed are you, O God, King of the universe, who has kept us alive, sustained us, and brought us to this season.
Amen.
Amen. God's the one that has brought us to this season. He's the one that keeps us alive. In Him we live and move and have our being. Hallelujah. He's the lifter of our heads. I can be heard if I keep my chin up. Hallelujah. Maybe it's my third chin you want to put it on. Hallelujah. My upper chin. Thank you, Lord. I'm going in and out. We're doing good. We're getting there. We read the three blessings over Purim. Hallelujah. Today's message is, God is openly hidden. Now, you probably wonder, what in the world does that mean? But we'll get into that. But anyway, hidden identity plays an important role in the book of Esther. The one who is truly hidden behind the vents in the 9 years that King Xerxes reigned in Persia, in the book of Esther, is God. God's the one that was hidden. The Jewish sages referred to His role as Hester Panin, or hiding of the face, which is also hinted at in the Hebrew name for the book of Esther, Megillat Esther, literally meaning revelation of that which is hidden. Although God's name is not mentioned in Esther, you can ask somebody, this would be a good thing to present to someone, say, what book in the Bible doesn't mention God? Or say, is there a book in the Bible that doesn't mention God? And they'll probably go, I doubt it. Well, there is one. It's Esther. And sometimes in our lives, which I better not get ahead of myself because I can see myself going off on a bunny trail, and I'm not doing that today, believe me. Although God's name is not mentioned in Esther, there were a series of miracles that happened. And they could only be a result of divine intervention of God. Even though God remained hidden, He was nonetheless present and played a large role in the outcome of the story. Isn't that like us? A lot of times we don't see God in our lives, but He's still present. We know He's omnipresent. And, of course, not only does He play a large role, He plays the role in our outcome in our lives, because He is sovereign, and God's will be done on earth whether we want it to be or not. It's just a matter of, are we going to participate? Amen? So His will be done on earth. Furthermore, this lesson can be taken into consideration on a much larger scale. Throughout Jewish history, and especially in exile today, God's presence has been felt more at certain times than at others. Doesn't that happen today? Isn't His Moedim's, His presence is felt more when we're there at the right time, the right place, doing it the right way. And I thank God that He shows us that these times, and He puts them in the Word to show us. The story of Esther serves to show us that although God may not be conspicuously present at times, He nevertheless plays and has played an important role in our lives and in the future of the Jewish nation. In remembrance of how God remained hidden in the Purim miracle, I brought this mask. This is kind of spooky, though. This thing is spooky. Anyway. Please. In remembrance of how God remained hidden in the Purim miracles, Jews dress up on Purim and many hide their faces. Now, is this a weird mask or what? Of course, I'm 95% present, but it's kind of like the Lord. He's openly hidden. And anyway, this is it. Get rid of this thing. I'm just trying to be put a little fun into it. You know, we're supposed to enjoy this day today. We're supposed to feast victories in the Lord. But this Purim is not an ordained feast of the Lord. It's just one that the Jews chose to commemorate and to remember. And we should remember all our victories. In fact, I don't remember all our victories because God gives us too many of them. But we better know when we're in trouble, like David. You know, before he met Goliath, he thought for a minute. You know, he thought back to when he had the other victories with the bear and with the lion. And so we need to remember our victories. And this is just one victory in the book of Esther that we're celebrating today. And I don't know why we chose that one, but I guess because it's one of the books that God chose to tell this story, and I think it's awesome. One thing not hidden by God is the fact that He loves His people Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Zechariah 2:8, please. Zechariah 2 and verse 8. Zechariah falls right before Malachi, so that might help you. Because Malachi is right before the Gospels. Malachi 2 and verse 8. I have the NIV version. For this is what the Lord Almighty says, after He has honored me and has set me against the nations that have plundered you, for whoever touches you touches the apple of His eye. The Lord loves Israel. That's the apple of His eye. You know, the center of the eye is very small, but it is also very sensitive. I just got through going to an eye doctor and having the pressure in my eye checked or whatever. When they touch your eye, I mean, it's sensitive. And Israel is like that to the Lord. It's small, but it is sensitive. It's a very sensitive place in God's heart. Amen. And Israel's not very big. You know, it's like about the size of the state of New Jersey. So it's not real big, but boy, it's the center of attention in the world. Because that's where He's coming back. That's where He's bringing the New Jerusalem. Amen? Amen. So if you want to try this, just poke God in the eye and see what happens. And if you come against Israel, that's what you're doing. If you come against Israel, you're poking God right in the eye. And believe me, you don't want to be standing there when you do it. Because it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And I don't want to have it happen to me. And He has disciplined me, but not to a degree that I have yet to discover. Never before in the history had a people that had been defeated, driven from their land, dispersed all throughout the world, returned to form their country again. It's never happened. Except it happened for Israel because God loves Israel. for a whole year after signing their Declaration of Independence in 1948. That's the year I was born. And so I remember that they talked about the year that Israel won their independence back. And they signed a Declaration of Independence, just like our country. Praise the Lord. For a whole year, they had huge battles to fight with Egypt, Iraq, Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. Humanly speaking, there is no way Israel could have won those battles. She was surrounded by enemies with larger populations, larger armies, more weapons, more money. Yet again and again, the courageous Israeli armies overcame their foes. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He's the one that fights for us. He goes before us. He is our strength. He is our God. You know, we have a lot of storms in our life, a lot of battles. A lot of times we lose some of them, but you know what? It's probably because we were trying to do it in our own strength. It's probably because we didn't say, God, I'm going to face this. Or we try to do it, and then when it fails, then we cry out to God. Well, we've already blown it, you know. So let's cry out to Him before. It says, seek ye first the kingdom. Let's get things in the right order. This is what this is all about, Hungry Hearts, is to get things in order. And that is, we concentrate on the presence of God and being in His presence, because that's where everything happens. That's where all the action is. That's where you're healed. That's where you get revelation. That's just the place to be. And that's, so let's go to Psalm 125, please. Psalm 125. I'm sorry, I cry sometimes. There was a struggle getting this message today. I mean, I had a lot of good stuff, though. I was excited. I had so much stuff that the devil said, oh, you got a lot of good stuff. And he said, it was going like this. Well, don't forget that. And don't forget this. And don't forget this. And pretty soon I had so much stuff all over that it caused confusion. I found out, I told my son, my grandson, Forrest, I have 2 page 3s in this thing. Well, it is, see, I'm doing it by hand. I don't have a computer right now. And I thought, well, I want to interject this after page 2. So I put 3 and I'm going to change all the rest of the numbers. And so I started this page. And then I forgot that I had done an extra page and I hadn't inserted it yet. And I went through and then there was something else I wanted to do. So I thought, well, I don't have a page 3. This was hours later. So, it's just not right that I got into that kind of... It's just so much good that I'm learning. I'm so excited. I'm like a sponge. Gene and I are receiving so much stuff from God that, it just boggles the mind. And the devil wants me to think that it's too much and that I can't take it all. And I can, but God can help me. Amen? So, let's go to Psalm 125. I have the NIV version. Brother Kelly, you have your book open to it? Where you at? There you are. You want to read Psalm 125? You have a loud voice. Go for it, brother. Amen.
This time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands to do wrong. Verse 4. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their heart. But those who turn aside upon their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be in Israel.
Amen. So there's only 6 verses in that chapter, but I tell you what, it's powerful stuff. And it talks about to those who turn to crooked ways. You know, there are people that want to malign the way. They want to make their own path and not choose the ancient paths that God had set up in the first place. Kind of like, me with the enemy throwing all this stuff. It's good stuff. See, the Lord, the devil will show you something good, but there's something better somewhere else. And so you go for the, we have to know have discernment and have clarity and have direction as to what we're going to do. So I had prayer over me last night, and after that it did help. I was able to do the pages and finish this assignment, and I had peace about it because we can't enter that peace. Amen. We were on the Sabbath and we had our Erev Shabbat last night, and we prayed together, and it was awesome. We had Kelly come and visit, and it was fun. And God gets us out of confusion and helps us. Amen?
Amen.
So is God hidden in your life? You may not be looking too hard. Let's go to Matthew 7, verse 8, please. Matthew 7, verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. The door will be open. You better examine your life if God appears hidden, because let's turn to Isaiah 59 and we'll see sometimes sin as a result. Let's turn to Isaiah 59:2, please. Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. So, iniquity, you know, sin will keep you from wanting to find God, to wanting to be with God. Think of Adam and Eve in the garden. After they sinned, what did they do? They hid. And then, you know, there are people that hide from God, and they say, well, I don't seek God. Well, they're not seeking Him. They don't have a heart for God. But God is evident in this world. He is evident, and there's no excuse. Turn to Romans 1:20, please. Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. It is obvious. God is, He's openly hidden. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah 48, verse 5. This is really cool here. Isaiah 48. God not only shows us, He tells us in His Word, and by His Spirit He reveals things. For Isaiah 48, verse 5. Therefore I told you these things long ago. Before they happened, I announced them to you. God has told us before of the things to come. Amen? Now go to verse 16. I love how it's worded, NIV, in verse 16. Come near to me and listen to this. It's like, hey, come here. I want to tell you something. He wants us close. And it's going to be something intimate. From the first announcement, I have not spoken in secret. God tells us right there, He's openly not being secretive. Amen? At the time it happens, I am there. So you know a true prophet by the fact that what he says happens. Well, what everything God says happens. Amen? And he says, I am there. And He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He will be there. He'll tell us and He'll announce it. He'll speak to us directly. Come near. I want to tell you something. He'll tell us personally. And that's usually when we're in His presence, in our little secret place that we have. Verse. I'm going to go all the way to, I'm going to go down to verse 18 because I have it circled and I just read it. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river. Your righteousness like the waves of the sea. So there are times that people want to draw close to God, but they don't want to hear what He has to say. They claim to want to know Him, but then they don't want to hear and obey what He says. But He's clearly seen, amen? You say, well, I don't see God working in my life. you know, directing and protecting me. Maybe you're not aware He is in control. And when He appears, when He appears unattached to you, and He appears unattached in your life, but if you think the Word is not relevant in your personal life, well, the fact is it's relevant today, the Word. Clearly understood by anyone who cares enough to open their eyes and ears and see and hear what God is saying. The tribal nations, you know, are identified, shows that the Word is true. It's effective today. You know, people think, well, those things that are mentioned in the Word are just something that happened a long time ago. This Bible is old, you know, but it's not old. It's relevant today. The tribes are not lost, and we know that when we study about the lost tribes of Israel, we are part of Israel. Amen?
Amen.
So, never assume God's silence or apparent inactivity is evidence of His disinterest. Amen? Scripture tells us that we lack the capacity to grasp God's infinite mind or the way He intervenes in our lives. You know, the martyrs that have died for Christ through the years, a lot of them, you know, they never saw their promises. And they didn't know why what happened to them, but they were killed, they were sawed in half, they were crucified. I mean, they were willing to die without an explanation. They just believed God and believed without seeing and still sought Him. God didn't explain to Joseph. We've all read in Genesis the story of Joseph and all that he went through. God didn't explain to him what he was going through, those years of heartache that Joseph endured. Joseph was expected, like you and me, to live out each day in something less than complete understanding. Amen? You know, when I was in the Navy and they said, we would get a command and we'd say, aye, aye, sir. We didn't say, aye, aye, sir, and then say, well, we didn't ask a bunch of questions, you know. When the commander said, aye, aye, I had to do something, we said, aye, aye, and that was it. We did it. We didn't say, well, you know, why are we in this war? And you know, what are the outcome if I start to get in this fight? It was the reason. I mean, we didn't do that. We just obeyed because we knew and respected our leader. And our commander-in-chief, the Lord, is our commander. We just need to obey and let Him work it all out, and you know, from there. Let's go to Isaiah 55, verse 8, please. You're already in Isaiah, so let's go to 55. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. Amen. We come to a place in our intellect, you know, where we start to ask questions we can't possibly answer. At that point, we would be wise to remember God's ways are higher than our ways. You know, we've also heard in this, besides God wins, we've heard a lot in this sanctuary, He's smarter than we are. Amen? And I was telling Kelly last night, I said, some men are wise and some are otherwise. So, I may not be able to explain to you or describe what happens to the faithful in terms of personal crisis, what happens to them, but let it be said simply that there is often a quiet awareness or a blessed assurance, as it were, in the midst of crisis or chaos, that the Lord is there, and He is still in control, and He still cares. Amen? Our task is not to decipher exactly how all of life's pieces fit together or what it all means, but to remain faithful and obedient to Him who knows all mysteries. God knows what it's about. He knows why you're suffering. He knows that you're suffering. He is, cry out to Him and see that He's not there. He will be there. He will be there. He says He will not leave us. Amen. Let's go to 1 John 3, verse 2, please. 1 John 3. All right. First John 3, verse 2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 25, verse 9. That's another good one. I have a lot of scriptures in this message, so I'll let the Word speak. Psalm 25, 9. He guides the humble. Amen. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. If you think you know your own way, you're not going to be teachable. But if you're humble and you know who you are in Christ, and you know the devil tries to do three things in your life. He tries to tell you can be God, or that everybody is a God, or that there is no God. One of those three things. But we know there is a God, and not everyone is God, that there is one God, one true God. Hallelujah. There's no confusion there. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 103:7. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 7. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. Tells you right there, He made His ways known. It's called the Torah. It's called His Word. It's called by His Spirit and revelation knowledge. He reveals things to us. Amen. Psalm 42, 7, I won't turn to, but it says, deep calls into deep. If you're looking deep for God, you will get there. He will be there for you. In Jeremiah 24:7. Oops. There's a way to get to know God. As Jeremiah 24:7. I will give them a new heart to know Me, that I am the Lord. They will be My people, and I will be their God, for they will return to Me with all their heart. Amen. God writes His laws on our minds and on our hearts. In Hebrews chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that God gives us a heart to love Him, to seek Him out. If we say where He's hidden and we don't know where He is, then our heart's not right. We need a heart adjustment. Amen. Let's go to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, starting in verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put My Spirit in you and move you to follow My decrees and be careful to keep My laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be My people, and I will be your God. Amen. He tells us He saves us. Amen. You know, we are spiritually linked with Israel. And as we are grafted into the olive branch, that's why love of Israel is important. It's our very God loves Israel and His covenant people. It boggles my mind how blind we can be of the obvious things. Many people, including this speaker, at one time believed that the Jews were no longer God's chosen people, that we, the Gentiles or Goyims, were somehow replaced them because some of the Jews rejected Jesus. We've all rejected Jesus. Amen? We're all part of His dying on the cross. The Jews didn't kill Jesus. We all did. This Bible has 66 books in it. Amen? The country of, or the word Israel is written over 2,000 times. Isn't that remarkable? In just 66 books. The city of Jerusalem is written over 800 times. And so is the word law or laws. It's also about 800 times. The word Jew or Jews is written almost 300 times. The word Sabbath over 200 times. Do you think just maybe the King of the Universe is trying to tell us something? We're trying to relay something to us? You know, without the Jewish nation of Israel, we would not even have Christianity. Do you realize that? You know, how dare, you know, we really undervalue the Jewishness of our God. Not that we have to turn Jewish, but we are to emulate Him and to be found to be looking like Him. Amen? How dare us not want Jewish things around? You know, I was looking at our pictures when the song said before, when we were praising God, you saw the pictures of the temple that was built on earth. You know, Satan hates that. Because what we're doing is bringing, you know, and the Our Father, He tells us, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth. What the Jews have done is they built things on earth that are replicas in heaven. And the devil doesn't want the pattern revealed. He hates that. And I need to go to Israel. We all do sometime and see some of the things, because I tell you what, that's Jesus shows us the things that are... Yeah. You know, as I say, they are spiritual umbilical cord. Israel is. That's our very birth in our Christianity. And Jesus is a Jew. Amen. Sometimes you get people mad when you say that. But he's from Judea. He was in the synagogues on Sabbath reading the word. He did these things that we're doing. He was there on the right day doing the right thing. And he was feasting. God loves to feast. Today we're going to feast and celebrate one of the many victories that God has given us. Amen. Hallelujah. And God loves a good time. I know He does. It's when I've danced in the Spirit and really released the freedom that God gives us, I can feel God, you know, at times just dancing with us. Amen. Amen. Shouldn't we look like Him? Shouldn't we have the things that He liked? Someone once recently said to me, "Hey, I hear you're turning Jewish." And I answered wrong. I didn't say anything. I just said, "Well, I'm going to another church and we believe in the Sabbath on Saturday," and that's all I said. But you know what? After that man left, I said, "Man, you ever do that where you say you want to answer someone back and you don't, but then when they leave, you think of a thousand things you could have said?" But I could have said it in love, too. I could have just said, "Shouldn't we look like our God? You know? Shouldn't we, when someone sees us, shouldn't it show some kind of sign here on earth of what God did and what He was like?" So, you know, and He's the vine, you know, now He's not, He was our umbilical cord at birth, but now He's the vine. He's our vine. He's our connection. He's what it's all about. We are promised throughout Scripture that we are never left to fight our battles alone. Amen. That's what this story of Esther is. There's a lot of people behind the scenes and God puts them there. That is great news for all of us who are weary and burdened by the stresses of life. Romans 5:1. I'm going to go ahead and start saying these verses. Romans 5:1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. John 14:27. You can write these down and look them up later. I'll go ahead and speak them out. "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do you know that at 365 times God says do not fear? It says fear not in the Bible. That's one for every day of the year.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeshua remains with us to comfort and protect us. Amen. God can identify with our suffering and has compassion on us. In Psalm 55:22, cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. That never is a good word. That's like all. That's like one of the words our pastor Bill likes. Yeshua loves us and understands and knows us. Psalm 139, 1 and 2. O Lord, You have searched me. That's Psalm 139, verse 1 and 2. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. See, God looks for us. We're not hidden. He knows where we are. He created us. But He seeks us. Why not? Shouldn't we draw to Him? Amen. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. Rock solid faith in God will hold you when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because you need fear no evil. We need to be fearless and more faithful. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. That's 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you. He's our foundation, amen, in the Torah. And keep you from evil. God promises to take our hardships and bring good from them. I think of the scripture, you know, all things work to the good of them that love God and are called according to His purpose. If we stay with the Lord, then all things will work to the good. Psalm 103, verse 17 and 18. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with all those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. What is that? That's the Torah. Amen? Our joy and hope can be as steady as the sunrise, even when what happens around us are transitioning from wonderful to tragic. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. The Lord is in control. Amen. So refuse to be shaken in your faith. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Or it says, or of self-control. God keeps us from going off the edge. Amen. Even when life doesn't make sense, God has not lost control. Psalm 38:18. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's very present. He said He'd be there. Establish your foundation not on fluctuating emotions, which a lot of people do, but on the authority of the written Word of God. Amen. God has promised never to leave us. Go in Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. When your faith is shaken, where do you go to find a new set of values or beliefs? While searching for something more reliable in which to believe, you will discover that there is no other truth that is more stable than that of the Torah of God. Amen. Isaiah 54:10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Psalm 37:34. Wait on the Lord. This is in the King James Version. Psalm 37:34. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. Amen. The secret things in Deuteronomy 29. Here we are in the Torah. Deuteronomy 29:29. I'll let you turn there. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us. Amen? Hallelujah. So hang on to those things that God gives you. You know, when you love someone, you keep the things that they give you. I have keepsakes that Jean's given me. I know she loves me, and if someone loves you, you keep those things. Well, let's keep those things that He gave us originally. Let's keep the Torah. It's a written love letter to us. When you apply the Spirit to it, it's not dead letter anymore. And these revealed things belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of the law, of this law. Amen. When my soul will rejoice, Psalm 35:9-10. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in His salvation. My whole being will exclaim, "Who is like You, O Lord, our rescue?" You rescue the poor from those who are too strong for them, the poor and needy from those who rob them. Amen. I have something else I want to share real quick. I'm running out of time. You know, David was a praiser. He loved the Lord. We all know he had a heart for God. You've heard the statement, David was a man after God's own heart. Amen. David the psalmist said, Serve the Lord with gladness, Psalm 100. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. How can we be glad in such perilous times? And is it not true that we're in perilous times? How can we rejoice when a loved one is taken and grief floods our soul? How can we come into God's presence with gladness of heart when the wicked one has led one of our sons or daughters into drugs, alcohol, or sexual promiscuity? How can we serve God with gladness when we wake up each day in trouble and affliction, when everything can be shaken is shaking? Does God call us to be glad when we are enduring hard times? Yes. David endured many sorrows and afflictions. Enemies chased him into a wilderness. His own sons betrayed him. And his son Absalom stole his throne. Amen. David was constantly facing overwhelming battles, sometimes weeping and broken through long nights. Yet in the midst of his suffering, David cried out, "Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to His name." Hallelujah. That's Psalm 68. And all we need to do is look at Job. What did Job say? "Though He slay me, yet will I praise Him." That's the kind of faith that's really the kind of faith we need. We are told to exceedingly rejoice and be glad in times of suffering and affliction. Peter said to those in the midst of heavy trials, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." David testified his gladness of heart came while he was in the Lord's presence. "You have made me exceeding glad with Thy countenance." See, that's when God says, "Hey, come here, I want to tell you something." David was that close, and that's where we need to be. Psalm 21 says, "Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness, and when we, in prayer, give thanks for all things, God anoints us with that same oil of gladness. Come often to His presence, and you will obtain joy." Amen? That's where it's all at, is in the presence of God. You know, as I was saying, the devil likes to throw a lot of things in to confuse us and tries to get us to forget where we started from even, you know. And I was blind to a lot of things he's revealing to me now. I'm, you know, look at, you know, I was thinking of a chess set. I was telling Pastor about this. I saw a vision of it. I love chess. I love to play chess. I don't know why. I like the strategy to try to figure out how to win. But I saw a very large chess set. You know, normally it's 8 by 8. It's 64 squares. Well, I saw a chess set, like, huge. And there were white pieces and there were black pieces. But also on this same board were almost white pieces and some gray pieces. And there were not just black and white squares. There were orange and some were blue and it looked very confusing, you know, but it's kind of like tares planted among the wheat, you know. The right thing is there. We just need to see it. God's hiding openly. The correct, you know, the correct pieces that are necessary for the fight on the border there, they are openly hidden because of all the other things that are thrown in. But God is not a God of confusion. Amen? I was thinking of when I was growing up, I worked in a little grocery store. My dad owned a four-aisle grocery store. And we had only four or five major brands of any one product, maybe three at the most. Now I work at Kroger's part-time. There are so many different. You forget the basic. Where did we start from? You know, we got so many cereals. And it used to be we have General Mills and Nabisco and just a couple, you know. Now it's like Keebler, Sunrise, Sunshine, all these, all the way, I guess a whole aisle. I'm talking about 48 feet longer than that of just cereal. You know, the basic brands, you know, are lost in the confusion. And the Torah, you know, it's there. It's in the open. God's in the open. But the devil's thrown a lot of tares, a lot of confusing pieces in our life. We have to know, have discernment to know we're still in the game, that he's still there. You can find him. It's open. You can see him. You just have to look. You have to get all this confusion out of the way. Amen? So I thank God that through prayer and through being with him, that we find that clarity. We find that discernment. And God makes things clear. It's not confusing. God is not an author of confusion. It's all here. It's being more and more clear. And the devil's devices are being more and more revealed to me. And I don't even have to worry about it. You know, he's not even in this whole thing. He's got a grave cell waiting for him. That's where he's going to be. He has no kingdom. He's not a ruler. You know, he's not. Our God is all powerful. So I thank you for listening to this. There's a prayer that I want to read, and we're closing right now. Praise the Lord. This is found in a book called, it's by Wade Taylor, The Secret of the Stairs, a Guide to Spiritual Growth. It's all about the Song of Solomon or Song of Songs. There's a lot of verses. That's intimate. God's intimate. You want to get intimate, you read the Song of Solomon sometime. I'm telling you. And God, you know, I'm going to read something real quick here. He hides, all right, but listen to this. He stands behind our wall. He looks forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. God is real. He's there. He makes it known that he's there. You see the shadow of him. You see types and shadows of him. Those things you've heard and learned and seen of him. Don't forget him. I think of Mary, you know, she was told about her son, how wonderful things were happening. It was a good prophecy over him, and she hid those things in her heart. She didn't say, oh, that ain't going to happen. There's no way, you know. She just hid it in her heart. That's what we need to do. This is just a prayer that I have to open up to, and it's good. Lord, in the totality of my being, my spirit, my soul, my body, my will, my intellect, and my emotions, all that I ever was, all that I am, and all that I ever will be, Lord, is I, all of me, will respond to your hand upon and your activity within my life. Lord, I ask that the word which you have imparted and quickened within me will be incorporated into my life experience so that I will be in harmony and union with you in submission and obedience. Lord, I will cooperate with you as you accomplish this. And Lord, please do not pay any attention if I complain. And we do complain, don't we? We do. But God is in control. He's given us so many victories. Let's remember him and let's move on in more victories, knowing that in the end we'd win because God always wins. And let's get excited about all God does for us and let's enjoy a feast with him as we sup together, you know, in the fellowship of the saints to get together and really love our God and know who he is and know who we are and know the basic truths that he gave us in the beginning that the devil has tried to make us not see, even though it's in the open. And I thank God that He's never going to leave us. He'll never forsake us. You know that one song we were singing, Sweet, Sweet Victory in Jesus. Sweet, Sweet Victory. That's so awesome. God is a victor. You know, He is high and lifted up and His train fills the temple. Do you know that? I thought He was in the little trains. No, no. The train, His train fills the temple. When a king would take a country over, he would take their crown, he'd take their robes. You know, they took Jesus' robe when they crucified Him, didn't they? Well, they take the robe of the king that they defeat and they add it to their robe, their train. And they come in, they have a real long train of victories, you know. And this train, I've seen it, you know, like those flags, that when you do those flags, I can just see His train like that, filling everything. There's no room for any foes where He's at, because they're going to get wiped out. Amen. But God is so victorious. He is the only God that is alive, that rose from the dead. And a lot of people are chasing after Easter bunnies this weekend. And you know, it's good to know that God rose from the dead. That's what our Christianity is all about. But we're going to celebrate at the right time, the right way, on the right day. Amen? And we have to love everyone who... There's so many that love God. It's just the confusion that is out there. Let's love them. Let's not condemn them. We were all guilty of being blind and being stupid. But I tell you what, God is good, and we're not going down any Peter Cottontail trail today. We are going to celebrate that. We're 1 month away. Purim is always 1 month away from Passover, and we'll celebrate God's resurrection, His death, burial, and resurrection at the proper time, the right way, the way we best can in all possible ways. So I give praise to Yeshua HaMashiach, I think. Bless you, Lord. I thank God for His Word and for His Spirit. I thank God for all that He's done, all that He's going to do, and all He's doing right now at this very moment. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. With that, I end. Amen.